From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
A look inside Everbank Field as the Jaguars look at the tape from yesterday's 51-17 loss to the New England Patriots. Welcome to Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, Brian Sexton will take you up to Gus Bradley's Monday press conference. He's scheduled to speak at 1 o'clock. We'll carry that for you live right here. 51-17, all Patriots all day. They scored 9 straight drives. The one drive they didn't score, they knelt down to end the ball game. Jags offense inconsistent. You can go a number of ways here, but, boy, the defense just couldn't get off the field yesterday.
Well, as you were saying that and you said Gus is getting ready to meet the media, I'm thinking better him than me. I don't know what to, I mean, I'm not trying to be snide. I don't know what to say.
I'm sure you do. I do have something to say. You know, and I like to go back and use historical analogies. So Chuck Noll once famously said, help is not on the way. And he was talking about the 76 AFC title game because neither Franco Harris nor Rocky Blyer were going to play. So he said, help is not on the way. And, you know, through the years, I've looked at this Jaguars team, and I've seen deficiencies in talent. And
that team got their butts handed to them.
Okay, but here's my point. No, they did. They got beat 24-7, right? But I think what Chuck was saying was his help is not on the way.
Right.
And so, you know, fast forward to right now and why that has relevance here is help is on the way. You know, I mean, A, Tom Brady's not on the schedule again. I think we can all acknowledge that. But you're going to – there exists in the locker room and probably the training room – the ability for this team to improve quickly, to get better quickly, because you're not playing Tom Brady, and because you've got some key guys that you're counting on, Julius Thomas first and foremost among them, Luke Jokel in the mix there as well, a lot of other guys whose names you know. So, yeah, I mean, 51-17 stinks. It sucks, let's be honest. I mean, that's a long day for all of us who are working it, and it's a long day for everyone who's watching it, and it's a long day for them today. It stinks. There's no excusing that. But unlike 1976 and many years between then, there is room. There are players. Help is on the way.
Yeah, and I think the reality is even with that help, you're probably only going to make up margins on a team like New England right now.
Oh, yeah.
Jaguars aren't as good as the Patriots
right
now, and it wouldn't have mattered who was on the field. And I think that's what's disturbing people. Is you look at it and you expected more fight, more resistance, and it wasn't there yesterday. Now, you say that, and history also shows you that many, many teams get their tails handed to them one week, and then the rest of the season is okay. But I think the issue for this team right now is it has created a very small margin for itself. It's 1-2. It must play better over the next few weeks because they are at a very critical point.
All right, let me go back real quick. Mm-hmm. Last year, Monday Night Football, the very same Patriots that we saw yesterday, led by the very same Tom Brady, got their butt handed to him at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, 41-14. And most people who are watching, John, I remember, you know this, people were writing Tom Brady off. There's the end.
He's going to be benched.
Yeah, he looked terrible.
That was the theory,
right?
Yeah.
Now, they turned it around and won the freaking Super Bowl. That's Tom Brady. I'm not saying the Jaguars are going to turn it around and do it. How about the Colts? That very same Colts team that everyone was in awe of before the season began, 45-7 in that same stadium by that same quarterback. The Patriots, the Colts, every team has losses like this.
Yes, they do.
It's been since 1998 that the Jaguars have given up 51 points. Well, they gave up 50 that night in Minnesota. I guess the point is, you don't write it off. Everybody, oh, I heard a guy in this radio studio earlier. Oh, it's terrible. It's embarrassing. Embarrassing is kids that go to sleep in our city without food at night. Not 51 points given up by a defense. Let's put a little perspective on this.
But I also think in the perspective of people who follow this team, I say that, I write the same thing you said. At the same time, this team so far in the last 3 years hasn't shown that it will bounce back in the way that you're talking about. And that's the reason I think the next few weeks – it was fine to say yesterday that yesterday wasn't defining, and it's not. But over the course of a few weeks, I think the next few weeks will be defined.
Well, it defined the moment they were in yesterday, mm-hmm. and they are in right now, but it doesn't define where they're going to finish this season at, which a lot of people think will be middle of the pack. You know, they'll take a significant jump forward. Yesterday doesn't declare and decide that they can get there or they can't get there. Mm-hmm. Yesterday says you're not there yet. You've got to get better. Hence, help is on the way.
The Jags are not the first, nor are they the last team to get their brains blown out by the Patriots. And that's going to happen to a lot of different teams. And
it's going to happen again this year.
Maybe even this season, for sure. Jaguars off. We'll stay away from the defense. The most points they've allowed in team history. So that is what it is. So on the offense, inconsistent play again yesterday. You know, the point in the game late in the first half where the Jags have a chance to drive. Bortles throws the interception. Brady goes right back down the field for his 400th career touchdown, and that's a 20-3 game. Could have been 13-6 at least going into the halftime locker room, but it wasn't. And that was the beginning of the decline. Not that they could have kept up anyway, but it's a one-score game at that point if you get some points
on
that drive.
There's a couple points, and you say, well, skim past the defense, and it's fine. It's also fair to assume if you throw that pick, which was a bad throw, bad play, whatever, it's okay to assume that if you throw a pick on the opponent – on the opponent's 16-yard line, that it's not automatically a touchdown going the other way. So I don't know that the defense is completely off the hook just because of that interception.
Okay.
But there's no question that you would have expected, again, there's been too much of a theme in the last year or so of big play happens against you, and then there's really no response. And yesterday fit into that pattern a little bit. You had the big thing go against you at the end of the half to put you down 20-3. And at that point, the game was probably over. Probably not going to come back from 17 down in Foxborough. But I think people are waiting from this offense to see more of a response and to get back in it, to get it to 20-10, to get it 20-13, something of a response. And that hasn't happened enough.
I'll just tell you, I was standing on the sideline yesterday, and I was talking to Pat Kavanaugh. And I told him, because they're driving down the field, I said, now, my philosophy here is, if I'm the coach, is I'm going into halftime no less than 13-6, right? 13-6 is my goal. If I get a couple of plays and I'm down 13-10, hey, more the better for me, but I'm within a touchdown here. So now the ball gets intercepted, and I turn to Patrick and I said it's going to be 20-3. And the reason I said that, not that I'm assuming that the defense can't stop him, I was assuming that Tom Brady was not going to be stopped. Because
good teams take advantage of that point.
But,
right.
But, John, and you have a
meaning
very...
the Patriots.
Yes, yes.
Right,
no,
right.
Absolutely.
That's my point.
You have a great historical perspective on quarterbacks. Better than me because you saw one of the all-time greats up close. But I stood there yesterday, and this year I'm spending some time on the sidelines during the game, and I watched Tom Brady in the pocket, and I was in awe of what he was able to accomplish before the snap of the ball and the subtle little things that he did, right, on that touchdown. And I believe Jeff Loggeman's going to show it on All Access tonight. The 400th touchdown pass, I was standing right there at the corner of the end zone as the linebacker came out to cover the back out of the backfield. And I watched as he didn't even hesitate to throw it right to the spot where Amendola was. I had a perfect view of both. I guess what I'm saying is he was playing at such a high level. He was going to take advantage of any opportunity he had yesterday. And this is not to excuse the Jaguars at all. But boy, is Tom Brady, I mean, he's on a mission this year, and he was playing at such a high level, I just knew it was coming back the other way.
And that can happen, and when you're playing a team like that, the score can get away from you.
And it did.
We talked about the interception, and Gus, after the game, you know, sort of fell on the sword a little bit and said he regretted that point. At the same time, you are down 13-3 at that point, and as a coach, I don't know that Gus can be blamed for trying to go get points or for calling a pass there. I think Blake said the same thing after the game. I'm sure he'll say it again this week. At that point, it's also on the quarterback to protect the ball and make the right throw, make the right read.
But
the coach can't control everything at that point.
No.
And I get Gus saying that he wishes he had made better decisions there, and it's a fine thing for him to say, and I'm sure he wishes he had the fake punt back and all that. But at some point, it's not all Gus Bradley at that point.
Well,
Blake's got to make a better throw there, and that's got to start changing.
He didn't throw the ball all that well on the first throw. You know, I mean, he wasn't good yesterday. They've all got to be better than that.
Let's hear what Gus Bradley thinks about it. Jaguars head coach speaking to the media live on Monday here on Jaguars.com.
Let's walk through this real quick. For this week, any questions regarding injury stuff, if you just shoot me an email, then we'll get with the medical team and try to get you guys some answers on some of that stuff. So we'll just walk through what's on the sheet. For Toby Gerhart, the team is pleased with the way that Toby came through the game with the abdomen injury. He did well medically and should be full moving forward. For wide receiver Alan Hearns, Alan continues to have an aggravated thigh muscle. He's continuing to be evaluated. For Marquise Lee, Leading up to the game, Marquise had some knee soreness, which resulted in the team downgrading him from probable to questionable on Saturday. The knee did well in the game. Marquise came out of the game due to hamstring soreness. It's the same injury that he's been recovering from. The medical staff felt that it was in Marquise's best interest to remove him from the game, so he will continue to be evaluated throughout the week. For Devon House, Devon was removed from the game due to a lower leg muscle strain. The team will update his status later in the week. For Josh Evans, Josh left the game with a knee MCL injury. He'll be day-to-day through the week. For Sergio Brown, he came out of the game with a calf strain. His status will be updated later. For Jonathan Cyprian, Sip continues to improve with the calf injury, and the plan is to progress him back into practice on Wednesday. For Luke Jokel, Luke continues to improve with the ankle injury, and the plan is to progress him back into practice this week. For Brandon Linder, Brandon was able to play through the shoulder injury yesterday against New England. The team will continue to work on strengthening the shoulder. For Denard Robinson, Denard continues to rehab with the knee injury. For Sendarek, the team will continue to increase Sendarek's practice workload this week as he returns from the ACL injury. Andre Branch, Andre will progress back into practice on Wednesday as he returns from the MCL injury. For Julius Thomas, Julius will continue to practice in a limited fashion this week. Julius continues to progress with his conditioning and his rehab as he returns. And for Dwayne Grotz, Dwayne is still rehabbing his ankle sprain. We'll continue to update you guys throughout the week.
Thank you. Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Just had a meeting with our players and, coaching staff, met offensively, defensively, special teams-wise. It was a tough game on us. A lot of things that as we looked at tape, we're going to have to learn from. A lot of challenges that took place, and, we'll grow from it. There's some frustration, I would say, is right, but I told the team if they are, that's a good thing. It shows they're invested. Attitude is great, but just want to get it right. And I think that's what we'll work on, and we'll respond correctly.
How do you turn that frustration into a better play?
Well, I think there's some things that we can do, as a coaching staff and as players. I look at just missed opportunities, and not that it would change the outcome of the game, but we just didn't play up to our capabilities in some things. And I think once they see those opportunities, it's a prideful group that they'll come back.
After a game like this, do you change how you prepare at all?
No, I do look back at, like I said, I took a lot of the, I looked at it and said I could have done some things better. I think I speak defensively looking at that game. Some of the things that we did, maybe for whatever reasons, our injury situation, what we had to work with at that time and saying, okay, how can we put together a plan together that best gives us the opportunity to be our best? And, now looking back at it, I think there's some areas that we could have been more aggressive in some of our coverage principles. And, I think those things. So not so much how we go about it, maybe just the philosophy.
How much do you regret not sending some more pressure books?
Well, the pressure, I understand, in certain situations, but tighter coverage. We played quite a bit of split safety looks to keep things in front of us. And with what they were doing, it created some openings and some zones, and we just couldn't fit it up as tight as we needed to. So I think we were going into it looking at matchups, how we would match up with them, and figured we'd take our shots. And then with some injuries, we end up playing more split safety because of the personnel. But I think even more earlier, we could have been more aggressive.
Yeah, I'll follow up on that, excuse me, Gene. So do you stand by your guys' defensive plan to say, hey, it was too risky to send 5 and 6 guys at time? It would have left too many things open?
No, I don't know with risky. I think it was looking at the time that he gets it out on blitzes, when you do apply pressure. So it's not so much the pressure. There could have been times where we brought a little, another guy or two. But I think the bigger thing is the tighter coverage.
You said it was a prideful group. Week one to week two, after a very mediocre offensive performance, but a good defensive performance in week one, you came back. Both played well second week.
Right.
Now you have pretty much a disaster yesterday. Do you take any comfort in seeing the response from week one to week two?
Yeah.
This coming week?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I know how they're going to respond. I know that we'll come back and they'll be ready to go and practice on Wednesday. They'll be, get back on and get back to work. So that is not a concern of mine. There's no doubt that they'll come ready to play.
Yeah, I'm not talking about being
ready to respond or being ready for Wednesday's practice. I'm talking about when game day comes on Sunday, being productive and, to use your own words, precise.
Yeah. Well, that's where practice has got to be, and we're going to get some guys back. That will help. I think, you know, they'll look at the tape. They'll know some of the things that we did. We weren't as precise as we needed to be, and I think we got to get back to who we are. And I think that's the biggest, thing that we've talked about in there. We're going to talk about as this week goes on is let's get back to being who we are, regardless who's in there, and let's play ball the way we're capable of playing.
So, Gus, are you saying back to the injuries and such, they precluded you from making some adjustments that you would have made on defense, or did you try to make some?
Are you talking about the second half?
Yeah, just, you know.
Yeah, overall. I don't want to put it on injuries because, you know, guys got to be able to step up. They know the game plan, and they got to be able to go in there and execute. We did it the week before. So, you know, I don't want to use that. I think that the adjustments that took place in the second half was that, going into the halftime, we could have scored. Could have, would have, you know, all got beat like you guys would say. But, I think going in at halftime, we said, all right, here's where we're at. Here's what we need to do. With the injury situation that took place, there was some jockeying around with responsibilities. So there's a little bit of an adjustment period with that. But for the most part, they did what we asked. I think if we go back and look at the game plan, though, I think that we can look at it and say, hey, you know what? If we had it all over again, we'd have been more aggressive and took our opportunities.
Outside of injuries, what would you say the team's biggest issue is through the first 3 weeks?
Well, I think the consistency. You know, we have opportunities for big plays. We just have the margin of error right now for us is tight. And with that, we've got to, when the plays are there to make, we got to make them. And that's not what we're doing right now on a consistent basis.
How do you get Blake's completion percentage up? He's only right around 53%. Obviously, he's had some drops and things like that. But right. Do you make a conscious effort to try and do things to get that up?
Well, I think the offense, if you had asked Ole and, you know, our whole staff, we would say the first thing is to try to make it, you know, really build the thing around the quarterback, you know, and give him opportunities to be successful. One thing that I like is that we're taking more chances downfield. We're great in trying to create more explosive plays. That's a good sign. So now we pick and choose our times to have explosive plays, and then we, you know, design plays that give him the best chance to be successful.
Were you surprised they were able to cover you guys so well on the rollouts that Blake had? Because from what it didn't seem like he had a lot available open to him when.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how many. There was one that I know with Allen Robinson there right when we came out in the second half. So there was a few of them. They did a nice job. They had good tight coverage on some of our stuff.
Anybody that didn't play on Sunday that you think may play this Sunday?
You know what? We're still up in the air on some. I think there's arrows up on quite a few guys at this point in time, guys like Cyprian and, you know, Gratz. But, you know, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see.
Will you have to make some roster moves tomorrow? You're sort of down on safeties right now.
Yeah, we'll wait and see with the news on Lalston, and we'll wait and see the news on Evans.
Overall, is it just what's the disappointment level when you're in your third year and you still can go out and get 50 hung on you?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's disappointing. That's disappointing. I say this. They're an extremely good team. They're very precise. They know what they're doing. They've got guys that are making plays for them, and they're a challenging opponent. I think what's disappointing is that we didn't go out there and play up to our capabilities and make plays when we had opportunities. I thought the first half was very close to what we anticipated. It was going to be back and forth. We were hoping to maintain the ball. We had an 18-play drive on offense. Things were falling into place. It kept us in a situation where we were in striking zone. And, and then it fell apart in the second half, in the end of the first half. But regardless, you still come out. It's 20-3. And we held them to a field goal. We had the ball. And now let's go to work. And I think from that point on is where it became more disappointing. You know, that we try to do too much. I think we were playing some coverages. Guys were trying to make plays, trying to overanalyze things. We got a little bit out of character, which can happen. which can happen. But we got to protect against that. And I think that part is when you start doing that, you try to make plays, you do things that are uncharacteristic that you do normally, then that's when the score can get like it is. And that's a lesson for our team, you know, for everybody to learn. It's just to stay true to the principles, stay true to it throughout, and let's see what takes place. And once we see that, now we can fix some things.
Are you disappointed in the way the offense has come out the last 3 second halves?
Well, I know. I think we've been outscored some there, in the second half. So, you want to put up points. And, again, it's the execution, and making the reads and going through with it. I think sometimes what we have to guard against is keep the simple things simple. I think sometimes on offense that sometimes we take the simple things and make them more difficult than what they need to be. That's where we're at right now offensively.
Do you think that adjustments are more on how the players play or how you're coaching and dealing with adjustments?
Well, I will say this. At halftime, you should make game adjustments, and there's an opportunity. It's not like what people think. It's a short period in time at halftime. So it's not like you can throw out a game plan and, well, let's go do this. But I think there's points of emphasis. There's coaching points. Hey, what are we seeing? Okay, be alert for this. This is how they're trying to attack us. Now, understand within our coverage principles, here's what we need to do, or certain things offensively. So, yeah, I think adjustments need to be made throughout the game and at halftime, and then you got to go execute them in the second half.
You worked Michael Bennett in a little bit more yesterday. What's your confidence over what he can
do? Well, he's doing a good job. I think what we're hoping for him is that he can add a little bit of rush for us. You know, one-on-ones, he's done a good job in practice. So he's been very good against the run. But I think that's what we need to see more of is can he help us in some of the third downs and some passing rush situations.
And then on Marquise, are the knee and hamstring related at all?
No, I don't believe so. I don't believe so. So I know that it became tight during the game.
Can you count on him anymore until he proves he can make it through?
Right. Well, I think that, reliability comes over consistency, being able to count on him. So is he reliable right now that we can count on week in and week out? No, he hasn't proven that. But and that's what he's got to prove to us. And these little injuries that are coming up, although they're real, it's unfortunate. It's not something he wants, and it's happening. We just got to try to get over the hump on those things, and hopefully good things come his way.
Because Blake made his 16th career start yesterday, I believe. How do you balance expectation with keeping in mind that he's still a young guy and learning?
Right.
Do you amp up?
Well, I think that when I was talking about simple things simple, I think that refers to him mostly when I'm talking about the offense. We don't want to make it – he needs not to make it as complicated as he wants to make it. I think, some of the reads, he's just got to trust his progression. Simple things like, let's get the tight end involved. Let's get Mercedes more involved. Okay, he went away from his reads and really honed in on trying to get Mercedes the ball. Those lessons I think he's learning right now is to say, hey, although we make an emphasis of this and let's try to get the tight ends involved, it'll take pressure off the offense, you still got to follow through with your progression. And I think that's what he learned this game.
Circle back to defense on the coverage stuff. Do you want to see more man?
Well, I think we're a read technique team which plays press. And now some formations don't allow us to do as much as we'd like, but I've been playing tight coverage. I think that's what I'm talking about, more man coverage or even our three deep principles that allow us to – we have corners that have length and to utilize that. To play some cover two like we did as a changeup is good, but I just felt like in this game it was one of our lead calls. And rightfully so. We all agreed on it. We looked at it, and the situation we were in, we felt like we had to lean a little bit more that way. So as we look back at it and with the outcome the way it was, hindsight's always 20/20. You looked and said, maybe there's a possibility. Let's just stay true to who we are and play more of those principles and see what took place.
So if you did it over, would you want to play more 3D?
Play more three deep and man and staying more true to who we are. We always play some cover too. It's good. It's good to have a mixture of that in there. When you play man and you play our read technique and they run takeoffs, four plays in a row, it's good to sometimes have a changeup where the corner's a flat defender. You take a load off of them. And it's utilized there as a changeup, and it's utilized in certain situations based on what you see by the offense. Yesterday, it became more of a lead call for us. As we look back at it, we understood that was, you know, going into it, we had to do that at times. But I think looking back at it, we would have stayed true to who we were.
How do you improve the short yardage run defense? You know, Blunt scored 3 1-yard touchdowns on you guys, like, and Brady was able to pick up a couple of...
Sure. When in short yardage, you know, sometimes it's personnel in the game. You try to get heavier personnel in the game. That was a matchup thing because of what they like to do on the goal line. So, you know, the pass to Gronk, we were in that set. You know, they tried to spread us out, trying to get us in a matchup. You know, we didn't want to have that matchup take place. So, you know, they got, you know, if it's on the 1 yard line or half yard line, those are tough to stop.
Who do you want to be or who are you? How
would
you describe that?
On in which phase? All of the team or defense?
Both.
Well, defensively, we're a team that would like to play aggressive technique, aggressive coverage on the perimeter. And, you know, use our length with our corners and try to utilize that strength of ours as much as possible. And on occasion, have some change up. But be aggressive and be bold in nature in our coverage principles. Apply pressure with our front four. And at times mix in some a fifth-man pressure, you know, 5 or 6-man pressure when it calls for. Play good against the run, and on third down, that's where we become more aggressive. And, you know, that's what I'd say we are as a defense. As a team, who we are is we're going to be bold. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to take chances, but calculated decisions. And I think we want that personality as an offense, defense, and special teams to be aggressive. And aggressive doesn't mean on defense zero pressure or on offense, you know, 10 shots in a row. It just means be aggressive, show faith in our players, and stand behind them. Similar last week and in this week.
You kicked on one of those technical things. You drafted 9 players in the first 3 rounds in the last 3 years. 5 of them were hurts, Can's not playing, he's a backup. That left you with the Oral Sheldon. Robinson. I mean, can you win with your draft picks not making more of a contribution?
Well, yeah, you can. You know, because you know it's the NFL. Your guys that are backing up got to be able to come in and play. Obviously, those first team guys that you know are their first round picks, or you know they're playing at a high level for a reason. You're counting on them. And when you don't have those guys, other guys got to step up and make plays. And those guys are capable of making plays. Our job as a coaching staff is to put them in position to make those plays. Okay?
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks.